One of my favorite storytellers is, I think back, was my grandpa. Actually, was a good storyteller. I remember sitting with him in his assisted living. It was a little bit before Jeremiah was born, and then right after Jeremiah was born, my grandpa passed away. So Jeremiah's middle name is Robert. That's after my grandpa Bob, classic Midwest. I have a grandpa Bob, as most of us do in the Midwest. But we sat with him, and Stacy and I were there, and so were my parents. This was my dad's dad. And he just starts telling stories about when he was younger, and stories I never heard, and some my dad had never heard, about how he became mayor of the small town in Illinois and never wanted to be mayor. Didn't want to be on the ballot, but got elected mayor. And then how he bought his kitchen table. My grandpa was a car salesman, and he had gotten this deal on a kitchen table from some sales rep, and it was a super good deal. So he got the bill of sale, left, had to come back with a truck to pick it up, and the manager there wasn't going to give him the table for that price. And if you kind of understand, like, these old school guys, that wasn't going to fly with my grandpa. So we let him have it and eventually got the table. If you're ever at my house, that is now our kitchen table. So there's a lot of story behind that. But it was fun because he came alive when he would tell these stories. They were fun. They were energetic. I got a piece of my grandpa that I didn't get before. So he was a great story. And many of us like to hear good stories. They're stories we connect with. Maybe they resonate with us. Maybe they entertain us. All this kind of stuff. And I was thinking about today. I don't know if there's as many stories that are told out loud as there used to be, but I hear a lot of stories online. How many of us are on some social media platform? You can admit it. How many of us spend too much time on some type of social media platform? Good for you that say no. I do. All right, I'll be honest. I do. But what do? When we see a story on a social media platform, if we really like it, we hit the like button, right? There's a like button. Or a love or a reaction. When Facebook first started, this is how old I am, it was just like. Now they got all these kind of reactions you can use. You like it. And then if it's really good, right, if it's got an impact or you want other people to know about it, you can share the story, right? You have a share option on Facebook or a retweet on Twitter. I don't know anything about TikTok, but there's probably one of those too. Ryan sends me TikTok links. That's a way to share it all the time. You can text it. That works too, right? But if it's a good story, it has an impact, you can like it and share it. And today we're going to talk about a story that I really think we should like and share, and that is the traditional Easter story. It's an incredible story with a huge impact, and it's one I think we should like and share. So that's our point today. The Easter story is a story to like and share. Sam's already laughing at me. Is it a little cheesy? Good. So here's the deal. If you ever visit with us in hometown, I go to Sam sometimes for illustrations. He just asked me, no joke, 3 minutes ago, are you coming to me today? Not planning on it, but then you laughed at me, so now we're going to play. But the Easter story is a story to like and share, whether it's cheesy or not. Apparently, it's not going to play with my youth, but that's okay. It's still one worth like and sharing, and I'm going to spend today to tell you how we can like it, how we can share it, what that means, and maybe it can become a little less cheesy or it can have an impact on you. So let's do that. We're going to tell the story first and then figure out what it means to like and share. We are going to look at the story from the Gospel of Luke. The Bibles, if they're on your table, you can find it there. It will all be up here behind me on the screen, and I will read it from the NIV translation as usual. So here we go. Luke chapter 24. We are going to start with verses 1 through 12. So let's take a look at what happened. It says this: on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. We will stop there. So what did happen? The women are coming to the tomb, And they're basically going to finish off some traditional burial stuff. They bring spices. These are there to help with the smell of a decaying body. All right, so the women are coming to do this. Now, a couple things about the women here. First off, they're assuming Jesus is still dead. Okay, even though he has told them he's going to rise, their assumption is he's still dead. But big props to these women because they didn't abandon Jesus. Everybody else fled and left him, but they're still there. They're going to go visit him in the tomb. So they show up, and this massive stone has been rolled away. Now, that would be thing one in my mind of like, okay, that's kind of weird. This massive stone is now moving. I don't know that I would run right in, but they do. They go in. The body's gone, and they see what we believe to be angels, and they bow, showing these angels respect. And the angels have what I think is an awesome question. They're like, why are you here? Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's risen. Why do you look for a living man where dead people should be? It's like, don't you remember? He told you this when he was with you in Galilee. His own prophecy is that he was going to rise. And he did it. And the women have to be like, whoa. Now, in Mark's gospel, it just says they were afraid and then it stops. Now, thankfully, here in Luke, we hear the women leave and then they go tell the others like they should, like they're supposed to. But the 11, the disciples, all the followers, in pretty classic skeptical fashion, don't believe him. They think it's nonsense. They know these women. These are friends, people they have spent time with. And they're like, nah, you're totally full of it. There's no way this happened. It's totally nonsense. Did you go to the right tomb? Maybe somebody stole the body. Like what? No, this didn't happen. It's nonsense. They're skeptical. There's no way. I'm a skeptical person. All right. There are things that come to me that I'm like, there's no way that's true. Complete nonsense. A while ago, how long ago? 4 or 5 months ago, I got this Instagram direct message from somebody I'd never met. All right, some name. I don't remember the name. But then it says, hey, I just won the lottery of like $10 million. For the first 50 people that send me a message and this information back, I'm going to give you $10,000 of it. Sounds too good to be true, right? Of course it was. It's complete nonsense. Now, what did I do? I tried to corroborate it, actually. Because I'm like, well, if the very off chance that this is true, that'd be pretty rad. So I look into this guy's profile and everything. You can kind of tell when they're fake. But we want some proof of these things. I also Googled him, and they're like, yeah, don't ever send this guy anything, obviously. Please, my pastoral advice, don't respond to those. They're probably not true. But the point is, we try to look into it. When we think things are nonsense, we think things aren't true, try to figure out, hey, maybe, why? Or can we find some proof of this? Now, thankfully, with the story of Jesus, Jesus brings his own proof. He is the proof, and we're going to read about that. We're going to skip ahead a little bit in Luke here, Luke 24, 36 through 49, and see Jesus bringing his own verification. So let's read that. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of the joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Jesus provides his own evidence. How? He appears in just this basic way. He just shows up. He responds to the doubts and says, "Hey, look at my hands and my feet." If we know the crucifixion story, he was nailed to the cross, so there would have been the holes in his hands and his feet. And then I actually really like the part. I don't know why it makes me laugh, but he asked for food. He's asked for food. He's like, "You got anything to eat?" A ghost doesn't need to eat. A dead person doesn't need to eat. But Jesus is alive. He's hungry, and they give him a piece of fish. Great. He's there. And then he addresses the prophecies about him. It said this all had to happen. And then he connects it all together and said, now because of this, the repentance and forgiveness of sins because of me on the cross, it is now available to all nations. Not just Jerusalem. It's going to start in Jerusalem, but to all nations, to everyone. It's available. So Jesus himself comes, answers the skeptical, and shows our Easter story to be true. He rose, right? So we have this story. And now think about a story that you've seen on social media when you're like, wow, that's a great story. It's true. I like it. Let's hit the like button or the love button or whatever reaction you're going to put. So that's part one, like it. All right, we like posts on social media that are funny, make us happy, something we believe in, anything like that. Think about the last thing you liked. All right, we have these posts. Now, when I talk about liking the Easter story, I want us to think about that as accepting it, accepting that it's true in our lives, that he is risen indeed. That would be liking the story, that Christ defeated sin and conquered death, and now eternal life is available to all of us. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have sin in our lives, and sin without Christ leads to death. But accepting that Christ rose and defeated death and sin leads to eternal life. That's liking and accepting the Easter story, accepting that eternal life in heaven, there's no more hardships or pain, and the suffering ends. And that sounds like a pretty great story. That sounds like a pretty great life that we get to have. And the way to get there is to accept Jesus as your Savior and give your life to Jesus and all the pieces of your life. How many of you ever feel like your life is just kind of like a puzzle with a lot of pieces you're trying to fit together, right? The complete picture, that's what we're going for in a puzzle, right? Think about doing an actual jigsaw puzzle. We do a lot of these in our house. I'm going to take a quick poll. Who here, when doing a puzzle, who builds the frame first? All the edge pieces in the frame. Okay. Who does it just by like sections, little pieces? This is fascinating because Stacy and I have an ongoing debate in our home about this. Oh boy.
In a children's puzzle.
It doesn't matter. It's a puzzle is a puzzle is a puzzle. It doesn't matter.
Differently in a children's puzzle.
No. So here we go. Now you can see how this will work. I build the frame first. So I'm out there with Jeremiah. Any puzzle I would do, I would build the frame first. So I'm out there and I am grabbing all the pieces that are not edge pieces and moving them out of the way, and I'm building my frame first. Now Jeremiah, if you know him, loves animals and dinosaurs. So usually he's like, we would do the sections. Now I was doing a puzzle with him about a week ago and Stacy was gone. And this kid starts just doing all the giraffes and then all the lions. I'm like, no, literally, it drove me nuts. So I'm like throwing pieces. I'm like, let's not do that. But that's the way Mama does it. Mom's not here. Okay? All right. Now, whatever way you decide to do your puzzles, the right way or the other way, that's fine. But imagine you're missing one piece of that puzzle. It's frustrating. It's annoying. When it's a kid's puzzle, I am looking all over the house because who knows where it ended up. In the other puzzle boxes, under the bed, in the washing machine, I don't know where it goes. But it's frustrating and it's annoying because without that piece, we can't make the picture complete. We can't finish it. Accepting Jesus can be like that missing piece if you don't have it. It's that last piece that can make this great, beautiful picture. It brings it together with God as the guide. Now, whether he's doing the edges first or the individual sections, he's smarter than I am, so he does it however he wants, but he becomes the guide to put it together and make this brand new beautiful, perfect picture. So maybe you're sitting here and you've never accepted Jesus yet, and that's totally fine. Maybe you feel like there's something just missing in my life, or there's a tug to do life a little different way. I would love to talk about that, whether you're ready to do it, you have questions, you're confused, whatever. We can talk about that some more. Now, maybe some of you are here like me, have already done that. We've accepted Jesus in our lives. Did that when I was a kid. So I would encourage you to remind yourself what it means. Are you ever trying to get yourself caught up in putting all the puzzle pieces together yourself and not letting God be the guide? I do that all the time. I think I'm really smart. I'll be honest. I think I'm a smart guy and a good planner. So I will build my frame in my life and get this section here looks good. Okay, that one's good. Now let's bring it together. And what happens? It's the two open pieces, and they don't go together. And God's like, yeah, that was a great idea. Now we're going to do it my way. Because he's got a better plan. God has the final picture in mind, and it's always better than my picture in every way. So liking the Easter story is accepting that Jesus' death and resurrection paid the price for our sins, defeated death, and gave us eternal life as a gift for accepting Jesus. And it's allowing God to be that puzzle guy. All right, so we like the story. We accept Jesus, right? I like the story. I think it's great. What should I do? Same thing I might do on social media. Share it. We hit that share or the retweet button, right? We want others to see it, to know about it, to react. We might write a really cool little caption about it to kind of make it our own and what we think about it. So as Christians and as believers, I want us to see that our sharing as living out our faith, living it. I mean, what better way to share what the Easter story really means, that Jesus rose for us, than to live out our faith in our lives? And I think we can share this awesome story and this great gift we've been given in two ways. We can talk about it and act it out. All right? Who here has seen the movie Encanto? Encanto. Anybody? Okay, well, about half. Honestly, good for those of you that haven't seen it yet. It's kind of the new kids, like, It movie, Disney movie. The music is incredibly catchy. If you've ever seen anywhere the phrase, hey, we don't talk about Bruno, comes from that movie. All right, I probably hear the soundtrack 10 times a day in our house, but I'm going to give you a brief synopsis of the movie and how it works. In this movie, there's a family, the Madrigal family, and they live in a village, but everybody in the family has a special gift, this magical gift. And the first thing they do is they talk about them. In the opening song, the main character, Mirabelle, sings about all of these great gifts that her mom and her aunt and her uncle and her sisters have. All right, they talk about them. And then they live them out. They use them, actually, to help their village, to help their community. She talks about how her mom can heal people with food. That sounds pretty great, right? Heal a cut with some food. You know, if I had a nasty cut on my hand, or, you know, I'd pull a hamstring trying to do something with my kids, if I could just eat a burrito and it would be better, that would be awesome. It doesn't work that way, but it would be great. Then her sisters, she's got Luisa, who's super strong and can pick things up and move it all over the place. She helps her village with that. Her other sister is the beautiful one, Isabella, who can, like, just touch something and a flower blooms and it's beautiful and it makes the village beautiful and great. All right? I won't spoil the rest of the film. Feel free to go watch it and then get really mad at me when the songs are in your head in the middle of the night. It's okay. But they have these amazing gifts, and they talk about them, and they live them out in service to their village and to their community, and that's pretty awesome. So for us, we can talk about the Easter story and talk about what that means in our lives. People you have relationships with, people that you see at work or your neighbors or anybody that's around you, and tell those personal stories about what God has done for you personally, because I think those are what's impactful to people you know. What he's done, what's he led you through? Use your words. We use that with kids a lot when they're getting upset with each other. Hey, use your words. We can do that. Talk to non-Christians about it and talk to Christians about it. We always feel like we're just supposed to talk about it with people that don't know Jesus yet. Well, we are, but encourage other Christians with those stories too. What's God done in your life? Build each other up with those so we can talk about it. And then the second is act it out. Live it out. And I don't mean to act it by putting on a show or being somebody you're not. Be authentic and honest about it. But I actually think, if you've heard me talk before, that this can be even more powerful than words. Other people, I think, want to see the people that say they're Christians and believe in Jesus live Jesus out in their lives. I think people want to see that happening. And that's acting in love, in grace, in truth, and in peace. And it has a lot to do with how you treat others. In Mark's gospel, Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He says, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. There's accepting Jesus. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. Love your neighbor. Share who God is by the way you live. Helping whenever there's a need, finding out the need and helping serve that. That's one way to share Jesus. The other way, I think, is actually owning our mistakes in a way that when we have behavior or say things that don't reflect the character of God or don't represent him well, that we own up to that. I didn't handle that meeting well, or the way I responded to that, or not piling on when maybe everybody at work is starting to make fun or talk bad about somebody, is trying to put a stop to it. It's that type of stuff, because I think that gets noticed. It's like, hey, you know that there's something different about them. There's something different about her. That is living it out. So living out our faith is a huge part of sharing the Easter story and who God is in our lives. So we hear the story, we read it today. If we like it, we accept it, and then we share it with others. So let's remember, the story itself, the Easter story itself, is Jesus' resurrection, but it's a living and continual story in our lives. The Gospels end. Can open up my Bible, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all end. But Jesus doesn't have an ending. He continually lives in us and through us because of the Easter story that we find. And that is a story that I would encourage you all to like and share. So let's pray as we close up this morning. God, I thank you for this morning. God, we thank you so much that your Son rose from the dead, God, that he defeated death, defeated sin, and the gift that we have because of that we have eternal life, that we're saved, God, because of what happened. So I pray, God, that that's a story that if we haven't accepted your Savior yet, God, that you would put a tug on some hearts to do that. And God, also for those of us that have, that we would be reminded of what this story means and how you live in our lives. And that would encourage us all, God, and I pray that you would help us all to live it out, to share it in the way we talk and the way we act and with those around us. And again, we thank you so much. We love you. In your name, amen.